Welcome to Executives at the Edge, a podcast brought to you by MEF. I'm your host, Pascal Venezis. Join me as we explore thought-provoking perspectives from the leaders and changemakers who are propelling enterprise digital transformation forward. Well, I'm so very excited to have Maciek Sim, head of marketing at Anexo. Maciek, welcome to Executives at the Edge. And today, I know we're going to cover some really interesting topic around business systems, digital transformation, how service providers are modernizing their networks and automating them so that it is a truly frictionless experience and all the challenges they're facing in this digital transformational era. So Maciek, with that, if you can please help our listeners give a little background about yourself and about Anexo as a company.
Hi, Pascal. Thanks for having me in the MEF podcast. Among such a distinguished bunch, it's a real honor for me. About myself, well, what can I say? I'm just a simple guy passionate about business software. I'm head of marketing at Anexo, but I also had a unique opportunity to help lay the foundation for the Anexo comms industry practice. And my past background beyond marketing was also very much in consulting. Also, I touched topics like product management, strategy, and innovation. And about Anexo, we're still a boutique consultancy, around 250 people, NSI specializing in delivering digital transformation project for comms industry. But our niche and where we really try to specialize and have exceptional expertise is the international wholesale segment of the comms. And we're working with many MEF members globally. That's also why we're in the MEF community. We provide implementation services predominantly around Salesforce technology, but we also do quite a lot of systems integration, a bit of consulting, especially in the BSS area. And last but not least, we're also a solution provider for LSO APIs.
Well, thank you, Maciek. You know, you talk about digital transformation. There's a lot of buzzword. You know, everybody's talking about digital transformation. What exactly, how does Anexo define digital transformation?
Well, I think you're right. There is a lot of, I mean, it's a buzzword, isn't it? And probably companies like Anexo also, you know, we are constantly washing the term and make it even more worn out. So I really need to try hard not to repeat some of the phrases that you can hear about digital transformation. But for me, it's really, you know, about changing the way you operate and do business by leveraging technology. And for me, the order of that sentence is actually quite important because it's first and foremost about changing the way you operate. And the technology piece comes later. I think what we're seeing today in the industry is, you know, like digital natives, a little bit eating our cake. But if you take a look at them closely, the innovation they bring, it's not the digital technology, but rather a new operating model that is enabled by that technology. And whatever that is, right? Let's take cloud, SD-WAN or NAS. Not sure if you'd agree with that point. And I see that not only in the comms, but it's happening all over the place. Like I can give you a great example from my country, a company that disrupted traditional mailing services by shipping the mail not directly to your home, but to like a remote parcel locker that is located located in your neighborhood. And they are extremely successful, at least here. They've beaten national postal services. And of course, there is a great piece of technology behind the scenes in what they are doing, but it all really starts from the change of paradigm on how you operate and eliminating some of the customer pains, which in the case of mail, you know, like was queuing up in the post office to pick up the mail and wait for literally hours. I still remember that, you know, like myself, right? So as an exo, what we are seeing, you know, like those innovators that are coming to the market are setting a new standard, and some of the kind of incumbent players, let's call them like this, and they are having challenges with catching up, and not because they are, in my opinion, resistant to technology, or not because they lack software developers, but because their existing processes are built in such a way that they kind of, you know, rely on a human component, and that's where I believe, you know, like where the digital transformation should really start.
Yeah, so you know that I totally agree with you. Like what we're seeing is a modernization and digitizing the workflow. So where we had analog processes and people involved, we're now moving to a fully digitized, you know, automated kind of processes. We have, for example, meters that we'd have people check our meters for gas or water. And now that's all gone to IoT devices that sends the telemetry and gets very accurate data. So I'm only paying very accurately versus a reader coming around every 3 months and we pay on average. So I think these are examples of digitizing the workflow. And what I like to know is, obviously, IoT devices will rely on, you know, wireless technologies like 5G LTE. But what is your take when service providers are going and transforming their networks to meet these demands of digital transformational use cases? What's the role of, you know, these global system integrators, and how do they, you know, provide that enablement for these service providers to automate and fully, you know, digitize all their processes and to enable that? So what's an exo's approach that's different from other GSIs? Because you said you were a GSI in some level too.
Well, yeah, and our focus, as I kind of said, is mainly on that aspect of the business support system. So, you know, like whatever you use to kind of power your business operations. And maybe I would try to answer that question, you know, like with a little bit of a joke. How many psychotherapists does it take to change a light bulb? Well, just one, but the light bulb has to want to change itself. And you know, like I sometimes really feel that with all the things that we are doing as a GSI, we're a little bit like this psychotherapist. Obviously, we are hired by the service provider to do the work, right? Which is, you know, do the digital transformation project. But ultimately, my point of view is that, you know, service provider really need to understand where they want to go and what they want to do. Personally, if I reflect on some of the kind of most successful and personally rewarding projects that I've been participating in, I had this kind of three things in, they had these three things in common, which was, first of all, like a full support and alignment of the senior leadership. And I think it's kind of, you know, really relatively obvious. If you want to do the digital transformation project, there needs to be a big support in the organization that we should go in a certain direction. Second thing was about kind of what I call a product ownership. So there was an operational and decisive product owner on the service provider side, somebody who, you know, had the vision and was able to set the priorities and accept the work. I recently came across one interesting blog post from Amazon, and they were coming up with this concept of so-called like single-threaded leaders, which they define as somebody who is, you know, like designated and responsible for turning the strategy into real results, and also is empowered to do so. Because what they called in this blog post, you know, the best way to undercut a strategic initiative is to make it someone's part-time job. Finally, you know, like I feel for the successful digital transformation, you really need to operate in the environment that is open for experimentation, and that is, you know, like this type of environment is quite critical to be able to kind of tackle the unknown. So, coming back to your question, question about what's the role of the GSI in this whole digital transformation project? Well, as an EXO, we really try to partner with service providers, you know, to help them on their initiatives. But what I want to say with this answer that, you know, a lot actually depends on the service providers themselves. At least, you know, in my consulting career, you know, I come as an external person, and for me, it's very difficult to imagine a situation where a GSI would be empowered to fill in these points, like, you know, the strategic alignment or the product ownership or the vision. Yeah, we might try to set up some proxy, but ultimately, you know, like, we are here to help the service provider to do the work. And we come with our experience, with our expertise, best practices, but also past mistakes and learnings, you know, helping them to guide them on the journey. And the way as an EXO we try to be different from some other service providers. Yeah, we try to build that partnership, escaping a little bit this kind of traditional client-vendor relationship, acting like one team focused on a joint objective. But what is also quite important for us is this kind of no big bang iterative approach. You might come up with a huge project for many years, but they rarely work. That's at least our experience. So we rather try to focus our customers that we're working with on, you know, like dividing the whole long-term plan into steps.
So let me repeat this for our listeners. So basically, as enterprises move in their digital transformational journey, service providers have to modernize their networks, and modernizing their networks mean they have to go to automation. And in automation, they mean to modernize their business systems to start with. If we take Amazon as example, most of our listeners know what the Amazon experience is. I go into a portal, I can look for products, I can order them, they give me price quotes that I can order them, they tell me when they can ship them, what day to expect them, I can track them, and all of a sudden I get it delivered to my home. So that's a very modern, and yet in the backside, they have lots and lots of partners that are supplying this. So Amazon is not building or supplying most of this stuff. They do a little bit, but they rely on a lot of the ecosystem partner to deliver on this. So as telecom providers go through this modernization themselves and depend on other providers to fulfill some of their services to their customers, these BSS systems have to be modernized. And today, Anexos is a modernization built upon Salesforce's platform, correct? Salesforce Communication Cloud platform. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So we leverage Salesforce technology for great chunk of our work.
Yeah, and you add value, and basically you deliver a BSS, a modernized BSS system, business solution systems that is based on Salesforce, that is designed for telecom, correct? And so that's very powerful. And then on top of that, it's not just, hey, I've got this modernized BSS system. I have to integrate this into your existing operational systems and your network resources and your orchestrators and so on. So there are many parts to this automation. There's the business systems, and then there's the full orchestration automation of the operational systems. And you guys, that's what the GSI role plays in, where you have to analyze how do you integrate to the legacy world. Because you can't just rip and replace and create a greenfield model. It's a brownfield today. So that's
absolutely,
so that's what you're saying, telling
absolutely
our listeners. So question for you: why is Salesforce such a popular platform for many CSPs? Why why have you built your solution on Exos? Why have you put that into a Salesforce platform and built on top of that? I'd love my listeners to understand that.
Well, you know, let's start with the obvious things. Yeah, they are the absolute market leader in the CRM space. For me, Salesforce is really that one of that these iconic companies, you know, that disrupted business software space. They were really the pioneer of software as a service, and I think a lot of what they did contributed to the fact that, you know, cloud is widely accepted among enterprises today. I think recently I've checked they have like 23-25% of the CRM market share currently in the enterprise space. But what I wanted to establish is that Salesforce is not just a CRM. It's really the whole platform that you can leverage to build whatever business application you'd imagine, from things like, you know, some back office apps or HR apps, customer portals or employee portals, literally everything. And because it's a SaaS, software as a service, frequently you don't need like hardcore developer skills to get started. You don't have to bother, you know, like with things like spinning up app servers, configuring databases. You just build your apps leveraging low code or no code platform features, so that barrier of entry is very low, and people are designing their business support systems on Salesforce platform because of that, in my experience. I know one service provider that is using Salesforce literally for everything, including documenting the entire network inventory down to, you know, individual port level. And, you know, some people might say that architecturally it's a terrible idea because we are kind of creating a monolith. But if you take a practical look on how it actually works in practice, yeah, there are some benefits of having all the data in one place. So that's really for me the reason why. And there is a great ecosystem of partners like us, and Exos, specializing in certain domains and you know, like filling in certain functional gaps of the platform. So it's really easy to spin up the foundation of the BSS on a platform like this. That's my take.
So just like the Amazon example, you know, I talk about how it's facing the customers and they can buy and quote and order products, but really Amazon doesn't build any of those products. Well, most of them, they don't build them. And they rely on a huge set of partners to build and supply those products to their customers. And that takes an open ecosystem of common standard APIs and processes that's fully automated to enable that. So at MEF, we've enabled that for networks and connectivity and all kinds of services across the telecom ecosystem. And we call that the lifecycle service orchestration APIs, application programming interfaces. And we've been highly successful in that. A lot of adoption happening now across the whole global international ecosystem on a buy and sell model using these APIs, which allows the example of a provider that's supplying services to their customers to go to the ecosystem and says, give me a quote for a connectivity across the planet or to this location or for compute or, you know, for power and space or all these various buys and sells that, you know, the customer wants. So what are the challenges you're seeing with these service providers in using these APIs to connect, you know, their business systems together and to enable that seamless workflow that is frictionless from the customer's point of view, that looks like their service provider they're buying from is like the Amazon idea, is supplying all the products, but yet they're not. They're relying on partners.
Yeah, sure. So I think the biggest challenge that I really see is that, you know, most of these service providers and their BSS and OSS systems that we've touched base on in the previous question, right? These systems are not necessarily ready for the LSO processes. And I specifically say here LSO processes because LSO is really about specifying the business processes between, two service providers, and not just exposing APIs and connecting through the APIs. So to give you an example, when we engage with some of our customers, we typically ask questions like, okay, guys, do you have an address database? How do you perform service availability check today? And you'd be surprised that for a lot of these questions, we get answers like, oh, we don't really have a concept of an address database, or address database is spread over, multiple databases, each in a different format. Or even like there is a guy on the third floor that, get all those questions, looks up his Excel sheets and returns the answer. So that's really, the moment where both together with the customer, we just realize, the project that we are supposed to do is not just about exposing the APIs. It really requires some changes downstream and some process adjustments in order to basically build that automation behind the scenes that will power these APIs and kind of automated flows across the ecosystem. So to me, that's ultimately the biggest thing. And a lot of service providers are at different stages of their kind of, journey. But ultimately what I see going forward and with each iteration and with each service provider onboarded, I see, we are slowly getting there towards a better, more connected and automated future. So there is still a lot of work to be done here, but yeah, it's definitely getting in the right direction.
So to conclude, Marche, what you're saying is that it's not just about open APIs. It's the back end of that API. If you do a quote process as an API, there has to be some level of codifying that quote process. And I'm not saying, oh, there's a quote coming in, let me go send it to this guy over there on the third floor with a spreadsheet to look it up. The whole manual processes or the human processes, they themselves have to be digitized in workflow.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Very, very critical.
And what I also see is that some service providers still consider an approach like what I call like a hybrid approach, where they take this LSO API adoption in such a way that they focus on building like an API facade first that is semi-automated for some flows, maybe for some happy paths, but still for there is some fallback to some manual process behind the scenes. But I feel like it's actually an interesting approach because it resembles this kind of, step-by-step journey of going into the, of realizing that zero-touch vision across the entire ecosystem.
And I think in conclusion, what you're saying is the experience should be a customer orders something from their provider, and the provider relies on the ecosystem, just like the Amazon analogy, and that ecosystem responds almost very instantly about, yes, I can ship it, I can get it to that customer within 2 days, right, or 3 days. But what you're seeing now is, yeah, I can get you a price, but to actually install it, turn it up, might take 3 months, or we don't know, right? And because there's so many manual processes involved across this ecosystem. So APIs alone doesn't solve it. It's also digitizing the processes within each service provider's ecosystems network themselves. And together, when that all happens, then a service can turn up literally on demand. And that's really the goal. And I think that's going to be a decade journey for every telecom provider around the world to get there. So Marche, thank you so much for being on this episode. Really appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And thank you for taking this evening out in Poland and I wish you well.
Thank you, Pascal, for having me in the show.
Thanks for joining us for Executives at the Edge. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today. Share online a review. Find all our episodes on your favorite podcast platform and at left.net.